really what we're all expecting and what everybody's been saying around here is just tread water, just try to get through the month of May so you can get Clevinger back. It sounds like, you know, there's potential that Kluber won't necessarily miss the entire season, or maybe you can get him back. And but keep in mind, like, you get him back and then he's got to go through spring training again, essentially. So it's just been a whole lot of knocks against this team so far this year. And all that said, they're still 18-13 in second place in the AL Central. And with that, we head to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. A guy whose work on Twitter I very much enjoy and work for his website, Everybody Hates Cleveland, I very much enjoy. He is on Twitter at Snarky Hatman. His name is Mike Hattery, and he joins me now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Mike, what's going on?
Not much. Hoping for a sweep today.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I was just saying, I don't know if you heard before you got on, every time the Indians need a little pick-me-up, it seems like the Mariners are there for the right time. Can we play them the rest of the season, please?
I hope so. I hope we get them and the Orioles for about 3 months. That'd be good.
That would be ideal. I will talk to the people in New York, see if we can make that happen. Cody Anderson gets the nod today, Mike, and you have very strong opinions on how Cody Anderson should best be deployed. And if you would, can you share those opinions with the fine people of Cleveland?
Absolutely, yeah. I think, you know, Cody's a really interesting guy. He's talented, but I think, you know, he's a pretty limited arsenal. He's really just fastball, and then that changeup's decent. I think he's like a 1.5 or 2 pitch pitcher. So, you know, I think 5 or 6 inning exposure is pretty bad for him. I think really, you know, what you'd hope to see the Indians do is sort of follow that Tampa Bay model and do an opener type play with Cody Anderson today. Let him air it out for 3 innings and then, you know, start turning it over to the bullpen and playing matchups.
Does Tito need to be more? I love Kevin Cash. I think what he's doing in Tampa is phenomenal. And, you know, at some point, I don't think you need to completely reinvent the wheel, but do you think Tito needs to be a little bit more forward-thinking and maybe a little bit more Kevin Cash-like?
I think it would be nice. I mean, this is a team that, you know, has a lot of different band-aids and players who are really good at, like, single discrete things.
Right.
And if you're really creative with them, they look really good in their roles. And if you play Jordan Luplow in center field or hit Leonis Martin second against a lefty, they're not going to look as good.
Snarky Hatman is his name on Twitter. Mike Hattery joins me. He's had bylines with Fangraphs, WFNY, The Athletic, and he is the founder of EveryoneHatesCleveland.com. All right, so moving forward, you did some great work in the last week as well, discussing Jose Ramirez, using the field more or potentially not using the field as much as some might want him to do. What are you seeing from Jose so far this year? How does he fix it? What would be your remedy to his struggles so far?
Yeah, I guess my remedy, and thanks for reading, is he actually needs to pull the ball a little more. I think what we saw with Jose last year is he sort of just targeted this sector of the strike zone and started just pulling the ball in the air, and he just happened to hit 38 home runs that year. You know, using the whole field is sort of a nice notion, but when you're going the opposite way for slap singles and sort of killing your power, which is one of his defining tools now, it actually kind of just hurts his profile. So from Ramirez, I'd really like to see him just be a little more aggressive at targeting spots in the zone and pulling the ball like he did last year, and I think he'll be fine.
Is that just simply a mental approach, or is there some sort of mechanics you can do to try to incorporate that? I mean, I know you're not a hitting coach, but do you think it just needs to be something where he puts himself, you know, as he approaches the plate and as he's in there, in that mind frame where he says, I'm going to pull the ball because that is my strength?
Yeah, I think part of it is highly mental or just like game theory based.
Right.
You know, a lot of times when you talk to hitters, they say, you know, I'm looking for this one thing in this certain zone and I'm going to do this to it. I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to do this. I think it would just be really useful for him to pick, like last year, he had this targeted low in the zone, low and away to low and in. And then he really targeted and his swing rate was really high there and he pulled the ball. And so just looking for a specific sector is, you know, it's not mechanical based. I don't think his mechanics are in too much trouble at the moment. But just targeting his own and being aggressive, I think is really important.
But you see that, I mean, you expect him to kind of come out of this. I mean, players as good as Jose Ramirez typically don't do this, but I think a lot of people are concerned because this goes back to last year as well.
Yeah, he'll be fine. So even his peripheral statistics, like ex-WOBA, suggest he's been, like, his expected outcomes are, you know, 30 to 40% better than what he's had so far. He's really been hitting the ball fairly hard at a, you know, above league average rate. I think he'll ultimately be fine. He's brilliant. He's really good at controlling the zone, picking spots. So I think It's going to come around. It's nothing to be concerned about. I mean, it's annoying, but it's going to be fine.
It's annoying. That's the perfect word for it. Mike Hattery joins me from Everybody Hates Cleveland. All right, conversely, tell me what Carlos has done so far this year. I don't, you know, sustaining this. Look, he's obviously cooled off a little bit, but he's been phenomenal. He's been a godsend within that lineup. What's he been doing that's been the key to his early success, which is something that, you know, typically, historically, we haven't seen Carlos start off the season this hot.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And he's someone who has benefited from using the whole field a little bit more. Although, if you'll notice in the last like week and a half on his hot streak, he started using the whole field a little less, and he's just ripping the ball over the fence to right and right center. So he just looks the most comfortable I've seen him in a long time in terms of controlling different parts of the strike zone and, you know, putting different swings on the ball. But with that discipline and with this start, it's been huge. They just are not above 500 if he doesn't play this way early with the rest of their struggles and injury risk.
Tell me about your love affair with Oscar Mercado.
There's a lot of love affair with him. I think every outlet and blog in Cleveland Metro loves Oscar Mercado at this point. I think he's super fascinating. I think it's also based on the fact that I think Leonis Martinez is a really good player. I just don't think he should play that often against lefties, and I think Mercado should play a ton against lefties and a little bit against righties. And I just think he's the best option of that group, and I would prefer watching him to say, Naquin, that type of player.
Is this really about service time? I mean, that feels a little strange for Oscar Mercado, doesn't it? He's not Vlad Jr.
Yeah, no, I really agree with you. I think people act like this is a service time problem, and I don't think that's it. I do think they are worried about whether he'll actually get full run if they put him on the big league roster. He should play 5 or 6 days a week, and I think, you know, there's questions as to whether that'll actually happen. From a service time perspective, it doesn't make that much sense to me. He's 24, 25 at this point. He's not super young, right. So you're not really worried about manipulating his age 31 season.
Mike Hattery with me from Everyone Hates Cleveland. All right, so just kind of a 30,000-feet dumb sports radio question. Is this team going to be okay? Obviously there are reasons to believe. Look, they're treading water right now. It hasn't been a disastrous start to the season, but everybody's very concerned about the lineup, and then you get these injuries to the rotation. Can you see them sort of treading water, or do you think there's going to need to be major moves made in the next few months in order to right the ship a little bit more?
I think they'll have to make a major move, but I do think they're better positioned than we probably give them credit for. I mean, you had Lindor out for 2+ weeks. Ramirez has given you almost nothing so far, and you have a winning record. And there's some other, you know, signs that this offense should be better. You know, I expect more from Jake Bowers and one or two other guys. So I think, you know, as we'll see the pitching sort of, you know, maybe struggle a little more. They still have a top five rotation in baseball with just, you know, Bauer, Bieber, and Carrasco healthy. That's an awesome top three. So you pair that, a pen that's been pretty competent so far this season, and an offense that should be better. I think this team's in maybe a little better position than we give them credit for.
Is getting Kluber back going to be that big sort of put you over the hump move, or do you expect to see kind of what we've seen from him at the end of last season and at the beginning of this season, which is, you know, a number three starter? He doesn't feel like the Corey Kluber of old. So even if he gets healthy and gets back, is that going to make that big of a difference as we head down the home stretch?
Yeah, I think Clevinger coming back is more impactful than Kluber coming back at this point, just from an upside standpoint. You know, I think Kluber has a great floor. I think he still has elite, you know, command when he's healthy, but his command was also pretty poor to start the season, and the velocity was obviously down a tick or two. I mean, this may actually be a good outcome for him to just sort of strengthen his arm, and hopefully he comes back looking more like 2018, but he's pitched a ton of innings, and I think there's reason to believe that at 33, you know, we're looking more at a middle of the rotation starter than we are a front-end guy anymore.
He's Mike Hattery, does phenomenal stuff for EveryoneHatesCleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Snarky Hatman. Mike, thanks for a couple minutes, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, there he is. And Mike, of course, as all guests do, appeared on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Couple things there, and I really like the work that Mike does and everybody at EveryoneHatesCleveland.com. Mike does a very in-depth sort of, analytics-based deep dive on some of these guys, but a few ideas that he's been kind of percolating and pushing that I I think maybe the Indians need to take a little something from is, does Terry Francona need to be more forward-thinking? Should the Indians be, especially with the injuries we've seen to the rotation, especially with a guy like Cody Anderson, who Mike describes as a one-and-a-half-pitch guy, should the Indians be receptive to, you know, to the opener, to the idea of having an opener and a bullpen day once every, you know, five starts? Or you know, the idea of having a pitcher who you are going to utilize in this one specific spot, and you're not going to kind of mess around and say, well, we think he can do X, Y, and Z. Because I'm not sure the Indians right now are in any sort of a place where they can be experimenting, where they should be testing new players and trying to figure out how best to fit them in.